to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Into the show, second half hour on this Friday, July 12th, 2024 edition. Joining us for a truncated history lesson discussion is Pastor Rusty Chatfield, the last weeks of the Woodrow Wilson administration. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Really, I should have said the last months, even almost a year of the Woodrow Wilson administration. You'll know exactly where I'm going with this. He was first elected, Woodrow Wilson, 1912, and the Republican Party was split between the president, Taft, the Republican, and Teddy Roosevelt, who ran as in the Bull Moose Party, what he called. He felt strong as a bull moose, the Progressive Party. So the Republican vote was split. He won in 1912, and he was the most progressive president of our up to that time, the most progressive in U.S. history, maybe set aside, except for possibly FDR and the current president. But the progress back then wasn't nearly as terrible as what we call progress today. But nevertheless, he was elected in 1912. He was an internationalist. He was a progressive. He felt like it was the government's job to fix all problems. He was an idealist. You know, he really wanted... I don't question Woodrow Wilson's motives, and I just question his judgment and his political philosophy. In 1916, he ran for re-election with the slogan, "He kept us out of war." But, you know, as you know, with the resumption of unrestricted German submarine warfare announced in 1917, and with Russia pulling out of the war in the east, Germany thought they could put a full blockade on Britain and France, pull all their troops from the east to the west, and win World War One. Knowing Germany pretty much knew that we were going to join the war on the side of the Allies, but you know, I'm sure you also know that we quickly mobilized, and it was America's help which ended World War One in 1918. Woodrow Wilson was really advocated for peace. He was an internationalist. He went to Versailles and negotiated the Treaty of Versailles. Was all in. He had what are called Wilson's 14 points of how to rebuild Europe, and he did not want to punish Germany as much as especially France did. Really wanted to punish the Germans, and it was a terrible treaty. But what he really did want was a League of Nations. That was the last point of his 14 points. He comes home to a Republican-controlled Senate and doesn't negotiate with them. He refuses to negotiate with them. Basically says, take this treaty, ratify this treaty, the Treaty of Versailles, and I'm not going to negotiate with you. Henry Cabot Lodge, Republican from Massachusetts, and we've talked about this, his speech in the UN. Hey, we weren't ready to sacrifice any sovereignty. We didn't want a new flag. We had one flag, the American flag, and so it was rejected. But Woodrow Wilson wouldn't give up. He started to tour the country on train, advocating for the Senate to ratify the Treaty of Versailles. Now, the Senate never does. And the fact of the matter is, in October, on October 2nd, 1919, Woodrow Wilson has a stroke. And so, and it's bad. It's a debilitating stroke, and he really can't perform the duties of his office. Now, his second wife, Edith Wilson, whom he married in the, you know, during his first administration in 1915, she basically starts functioning for him as the chief of staff. She called it stewardship, Woodrow, Edith Wilson. She managed the office. She was the presidential gatekeeper. Nobody would see, including cabinet members, including the vice president. Nobody could see the president without her say-so. She hid for a long time how ill the president actually was. The country did not know. Now, she claims, and this, she said this, Edith Wilson said this in her memoirs, "I never made a single decision regarding the disposition of public affairs." And during his lifetime, most people believe that. As I look at this, I don't believe it. She was the, Edith Wilson was the sole link between the cabinet and the president. He was bedridden. Now, he was somewhat there, but he definitely was not all there. A doctor, a neurosurgeon, Dr. Burt Park, after the election of Harding in 1920, he looked at all the records, and here's his assessment of Woodrow Wilson in the last few months of his administration. He said, quote, "Disorders of emotion, impaired impulse control, and defective judgment." That's what the neurosurgeon said, the official diagnosis of Woodrow Wilson. Now, the press, as they did with FDR, they pretty much hid this. They didn't go after it. There was an interview just in 1920, before the election, in which there was it was all protected. And the author of the article said that that the president, he was, quote, an alert president. The fact of the matter is, his cabinet, the vice president Marshall, no one would come out and say, Woodrow Wilson is bedridden. He's had a terrible stroke. Now, and for what this is worth, Wilson was even contemplating running for a third term even after he had a stroke, but he was in no condition to do it. But he had this great vision of what he thought the United States should do and what direction they should go. And, of course, he could not campaign. And, as you know, the Democrats were defeated in 1920. Now, fast forward to 1967 and the 25th Amendment. That having happened, and there was also one other time something like this happened is when Garfield was assassinated. There was a period of time that he was dying, but he was at least there in his mind. But we passed the 25th Amendment in 1967, which basically says the president, of his own will, can take his powers and give them to the vice president until he's able to assume the decisions that need to be made by the president. But there's also a clause in the 25th Amendment that the vice president and the cabinet can, with majority vote, can assume the office of the president when they deem that the president is unable to make decisions and fulfill his oath to the Constitution.
If they look, I have a question on that point. 1967, as you were saying, Article 25. What was the basis? What was the sense of urgency? What caused the 25th Amendment to take place in 1967?
I do not know that there was. It was just overdue because of what happened with Garfield and especially what happened with Wilson. And
okay.
And there was a period of time also when FDR died in office that he died fairly quickly after he had that cerebral hemorrhage, I believe.
Yeah.
But what happens if the president has a heart attack and he has to have open heart surgery and he's under for a day? What happens when the president, like Woodrow Wilson, is really, has a quote, according to the neurosurgeon, disorders of emotion, impaired impulse control, and defective judgment? Who makes the decisions? In this case, with Woodrow Wilson, it was really Edith Wilson made the decisions. She claimed she didn't, but no one could see the president without her say-so. Even the cabinet members couldn't see the president without her say-so. And Wilson was somewhat there, but he did have impaired impulse control, and his judgment was defective. But let me tell you what happens with Wilson, which happens with everybody. I don't care if you're sick, you want power. You've had the presidency for 7 years. You don't want to give up the presidency. You don't want to give up the decision making. You believe in what you're doing. You believe in trying to get the League of Nations going in the United States, the Treaty of Versailles ratified by the Senate. You believe in it. And when you get in such a state, when you're an older person, you get stubborn. Listen, I won't tell you who, but I know of a real good man of God who was 90 and was enfeebled. And his children had to. They took his cars away, grabbed his car keys, and drove off with his cars and said, "Dad, you can't do this." And he called the police on his own children. He's a preacher. Now, I think he was 92 when this happened. Because you don't see, when you're that age, your defective judgment. You don't see it. And somebody has to be adult enough to say, "This, you can't do this anymore, Dad. You can't drive. You just have to take the keys." Right. Or when you have a president who is not there, whether he's liberal or he's getting incapacitated. Now, here's the deal. Obviously, everybody knows where this is going. The entire country sees what has happened to President Biden. And there are a few Democrats who have come out and said, "You need to step down." Frankly, he shouldn't just, in my view, he shouldn't just step down from running. He should step down from the presidency. It's a constitutional issue. He is unable to discharge the office of the president of the United States.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
And it's kind of interesting how Joe Biden is being present now at every event. She's also, I've been told, part of the inner office. The meetings, very similar to what you just said about Mrs. Wilson being chief of staff, being in the meetings. I've got a message today, a story came across that now Jill Biden is actually attending every single meeting he has in the Oval Office. Kind of interesting. Great parallels. Final segment of today's discussion with Pastor Chatfield. A short break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation, or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
I'm Josh Saul, running for U.S. Congress in the 1st District. We can all agree our government is in desperate need of accountability and a balanced budget. As a retired Army infantryman and a CPA, I'm trained to do both. I'm also a man who was built by this community. Head over to joshsaulforcongress.com to learn more and donate. And on August 6th, make sure you vote for Josh Saul and send our values to Washington, D.C. on a mission to restore our rights. Paid for by Josh Saul for Congress.
Tyler Gorrell, your Republican candidate for Tuscarora Township Trustee. I was born and raised in Indian River, and I know the issues that we face. I will use my business experience to support maintaining and improving infrastructure, encouraging affordable housing and development that benefits all our citizens. And I will never vote for new taxes. Vote for Tyler Gorrell, Tuscarora Township Trustee in the Republican primary on August 6th. Paid for by the committee to elect Tyler Gorrell Trustee.
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent and fight for you, the people that elect me, not the folks in Lansing. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, and let's get Michigan back on track. Our kids and grandkids deserve a better future, and I am willing to fight for that. ElectSmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment of our discussion today with Pastor Chatfield. So the analogies are clear. The history is there. How do you see, just taking a wild guess, the process according to the DNC rules? Presidential primary elections were held, Pastor Chatfield. Biden won the primary elections with enough delegates on the first round of voting that they must, according to their rules, vote for him. The only caveat is his withdrawal of his own nomination due to health reasons and other considerations on withdrawing from the race. Biden said yesterday he's not doing it. He's not going to drop out. What are the Democrats going to do if he stays in this race and the delegates are obligated to cast their vote in the first round at the national convention? He ends up getting the nomination. Game over. We're done. Let's go home. I mean, what are they going to do?
I don't know. But let me tell you this. First of all, there's nothing in our Constitution about primary elections. That's all, nothing in there. And there's nothing, you know, we're talking about rules of the Democratic Party or rules of the Republican Party. Is that the same as laws? If I'm a delegate there and I can see, yes, I was sent from Michigan, let's say, to vote for President Biden, but I can see he's incapacitated, I think I vote no anyway. Oh, what are they going to do, arrest me? Maybe they will. I don't know. I don't know that. But let me tell you this. When President Biden took an oath that he would faithfully discharge the office of the President of the United States, when you're unable to do that, you got to step down. This is really, I get it. This is a big political question. The Democrats are in a big world of hurt here. They're, and I'm sure people that are following this understand this. They're in a world of hurt. They really don't want Kamala Harris to be president. But if President Biden were to step down, I'm suggesting, calling, if you will, he needs to step down from the presidency. He's not able to perform, discharge his duties, which he took an oath. Plus the fact you've got other people, gatekeepers, the way Edith Wilson was, that are pulling the strings here. And if everybody knows that, everybody, there's somebody, maybe it's Jill Biden, I don't know. Maybe it's the former president, Barack Obama, I don't know. Maybe it's his former staff, I don't know. But there's somebody, somebody's maybe, are pulling the strings here. And I've learned this too in the last just few days I followed this. You know, President Biden and his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, they were a little bit miffed when President Obama told them not to run in 2016 because it was all prepared for Hillary Clinton. There's been a rift there between the Obamas and the Bidens. Everything, I know they claim, you know, in public, hey, we're all good friends, but there's been a rift there. I get the sense that Joe Biden says, you're not going to take this away from us. You've got to believe that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, former President Obama are talking. So that's all the politics of this. But I'm talking about the constitutionality of it. Joe Biden took the oath. He's the president. Article 2, Section 1 of our Constitution says the executive power should be vested in a president. The power's in him. It can't be in his advisors. Can't be in his wife. Now, we're in a world of hurt here because maybe his wife has told him you need to step down. I have no idea. I doubt that because she is probably something like Edith Wilson or anybody. I mean, once you get in power, you want to keep it. That's human nature. Republican, Democrat, right. Whatever. Doesn't that's human matter. Nature. Yep. Yep. So, but constitutionally, I don't think he's able to discharge the office of the presidency. I don't think he's able. He should step down. And really, if he won't step down, the vice president and the cabinet should employ the one clause in the 25th Amendment, which allowed them to remove him. And if they'd be strong. Now, what are the political ramifications of that? I don't know. I'll let others figure that out. But surely we know it's a dangerous situation for our country, yes, even for the world, when a man and this is not a moral judgment on President Biden that he's done something wrong, but he's not able to discharge his office. He's confused, so easily confused. We see that. He needs to step down, or if he won't, they need to, you know, employ the 25th Amendment and force him down. Now, I hope his wife would see that. I hope they would love the country and the Constitution enough to say it's time for you to step down. Of the political consequences. And by the way, politically, it may help the Democrats if they would do that. I don't know. I don't know exactly what would happen. So there you go.
Did you see the op-ed that James Carville authored in the New York Times?
I heard about it, that he's saying the same thing, more or less.
He wants Barack Hussein Obama and Bill Clinton to pick 7 candidates to run with Kamala Harris at 4 town hall meetings, Northeast, South, Midwest, and out West, hold actually mini caucuses leading into their convention, and then let the process unfold at the national convention with Kamala Harris part of the plan. I think what they're doing is looking for him to be removed from office and her as vice president step up and assume the duties, basically run as the incumbent president on the November 5th ballot.
That might work politically. There are some legal things going on here too.
Yes.
If he were to step down, yep, she gets the money. So anyway, I'm just talking about the history behind this. So God bless you guys.
God bless you, sir. We'll see you on the radio on Sunday from 11 to noon.
Yes, sir.
God bless. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hey, Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAWater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAWater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Politics doesn't belong in the classroom, nor does the woke agenda. Hi, It's Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a physician, I know the importance of education. I want every child to have the same opportunities I did. That's why we must return to teaching academics rather than confusing children on gender issues. I will fight for the future.